But that was on the outside, and things were different then. We'd built our world together.
Oh, you really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because even though you've got a
love so clear and
yeah, I'm originally from Northwest, and then moved
really?
Down to Nottingham. And so I lost my accent on the way.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up with a bit of a mishmash of everything and nothing. So it still comes out in certain words.
No.
If I say like glass or bath or something like
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, as opposed to glass or bath. Yeah.
Exactly. So that sounds weird to me. People around here say that sort of thing all the time. Okay. Right, anyway, so as this is all things prison, how did you get into the show? When were you first introduced to it?
Oh, my goodness, Craig, what a question. Well, I think you were mentioning this, actually. It was through, I was at Polytechnic, as it then was, university, actually, in the Midlands. And I remember coming back from the pub with a fellow a student on my course, and we'd had a few bevvies, and I think it was just like, oh, we need to watch some TV now. Switched on the news. I think it was the central region, and it was about 22:11, and guess what popped up on the screen? It was Prisoner. It was the first time, and it was just like, what on earth is this? And I remember the episodes that we tuned in and watched. It was when Colleen Powell, Vera Vinegar Tits had just left, and Colleen Powell had sort of come to the forefront as the nasty prison officer. Yeah. And there was a prisoner called Alison Page, who was like one of those. Do you remember? Yeah.
I'd say one of my least favorite characters ever, I think.
Yeah, she's so bad. You hate her for who she is. I mean, I've written about her on the prison.
She hasn't done anything wrong. It's just that you hate her because she's so whiny.
Oh, precisely. I mean, she's like it. Her acting is hilarious. The way that when she gets into Wentworth, she's sort of cowering away from the wind because she thinks they're going to attack her, and she's just one of those middle class. Oh my God, you awful kind of working class, uneducated women types. So the plot line was where she really wanted to get out of Wentworth, and she freaked out, and Mrs. Powell catches her in a cell when she's meant to be working. Sort of says, what the hell are you doing? And Alison shoves Mrs. Powell against a locker, and then I don't know if you remember, Greg, and then so we were riveted, and it's like, what are you going to do, you bitch, Powell? You know, the guy that I was with on the course, we were like, we've got to tune in tomorrow night to find out what happened. And B, I think, was really rooting for her and trying to help. Was that when B had gone into hospital because of the kidney stuff? Maybe. But anyway, we love the cheesiness. We sort of love the cheapness, but it was kind of riveting at the same time. But we were sort of rooting a bit for the characters. And after that, it wasn't long after that I met my first partner, my then boyfriend. He was a huge fan. And he lived in a place near Manchester. And when we went back to stay at his, Prisoner was at a different point. And so we just got hooked on it and ended up watching it a lot, really. Yeah.
That's essentially what happened to me. I was in Granada region, but I was also picking up Central, so I could. Mm-hmm. And if you were watching one week and another the following week in a different region, there's like a 2-year difference in the episodes you were watching. So
yeah, absolutely.
It did make it a good way of just jumping about, but it also showed to me that the episodes kind of worked as individual episodes. Okay, you're going to misunderstand some storylines and that kind of thing just by jumping about. But also, you can kind of just dive in wherever you want and still find it as entertaining. So
definitely.
I quite like that about it.
Yeah, for sure.
So when what year would that have been? So if it was Central, maybe like 90, 91, something like that?
That's a good guess. This is where I feel so bloody old. I'm telling you, it was about 1989, Greg. I remember, 1989. And then because what happened, you were mentioning this, that's when I got into it. And I think that's when they were doing all those runs on the different channels. I then did actually go and live, I sort of stuck around in the Midlands, and they were showing it three nights a week, I think. And by that point, it got onto like the Rita Connors sort of plot lines. It was much sorry, I've got a bit of a light problem in the room there. You know, I remember thinking I didn't like it as much at that point, and the production values were not as good, and it was just getting a bit tired and boring. When I used to go back to, because when my partner lived near Manchester, you mentioned Granada, it was where The Freak had arrived. There was the fire at Wentworth. There was Steve Faulkner getting derobed by the women, which we very much liked. Okay, it was all of that stuff, and it was just better written and more riveting, better for production value. So nevertheless, I still watched it when I,
I always think Rita like meant a kind of an upturn. I think it was going down a bit, and then I think that the Nora era was
the
worst time. I think she was such a shit top dog, and
absolutely,
all of the Barnhurst
Nora the Bora, didn't they?
It didn't. None of them really worked, and then you've got them all coming in at no notice, and you've got these like what 5-6 new characters, and they're all kind of crap.
They were absolutely.
And then so they probably thought this is going to be the end, and then they kind of accidentally hit on Rita as a great opponent for Joan, and it kind of kick-started it again for me. That
I agree. And although I don't know about you, Greg, I still didn't totally warm to the characters, but then you did have the better plot lines with when like Rita went to Blackmore with Ernest Craven and all of that stuff. That was really quite brutal and nasty, and it did,
It was absolutely batshit, that era, because it was almost like they went, well, we're just going to do anything now. We're kind of in I always get the feeling that when, I always call him Alf, I can't stop calling him Alf, but when Alf Stewart came back in as Ernest Craven, I think they must have known around that point that they were going to have to start winding it up soon, because they were just throwing everything into those scenes to make them as...
Plus recycling the actors, because what you just said, I mean, he was Jim Fletcher's, Jim Fletcher's sort of...
He was also Sonia's husband's...
Yeah.
Something or other, I can't remember.
Right.
One of the drug lords or something, or one of his rivals.
That's right. Another pimp, same kind of characters.
They're all pretty much identical. I'm not saying he didn't have range, but maybe they brought him in purely because they knew precisely the characters he could play. And he's good as all of them. It's just the characters are all essentially the same.
Yeah.
Or one's got sunglasses on, that's all. That's the main difference. Well, Wimmy, you did mention the photo behind me as an audio podcast. Loads of people mention this, and I never have put up what the photo is. But the photo is pretty much from the era the episode has randomly selected tonight. It's episode 291.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking it probably is around this period when... You see Colleen there, and Joan's already arrived, and B's still there. So I'm thinking, you know, there's Steve as well at the back. So I think we're not far off. We might see them take this photo in the episode.
I think you're right. Yeah, and B's had the haircut, hasn't she? Because, again, me showing my geek knowledge, for the first couple of episodes when The Freak, she had long hair, and then suddenly it was all cut off. Yeah, and it was around
I've never worked out where, like, Series 2 ended and Series 3 started. The only one I can work out is when B's hair is suddenly different. You go, there's a new series. That one was definitely a new series.
The actors have all been on holiday, haven't they? And they've had a few months off and it's grown.
But it's only, like, generally you don't notice. It's just when B's comes back like that and they suddenly have to put it into the script.
What's going on?
Right, so being a... prisoner fan, you'll already remember what happened in episode 290, but I always put these recaps in there because I won't remember, and I'm guessing other people won't either. So let me just play in a little audio recap by the, something that I call the Megbot, which just reads recaps of Prisoner episodes. So let me just play the recap for episode 290.
Thank you.
Previously, on Prisoner Cell Block H, Joan foils the attempt to snatch Hannah from court by grabbing Hannah and making the gunman release Meg. Steve visits Chrissy in solitary, and she offers him a deal. She will tell the truth if he arranges a visit from Elizabeth. He refuses. Meg thanks Joan for her quick thinking, but admits that there was a moment when she thought she might really break Hannah's neck. The women
Meg and Joan getting on
to free Hannah on the radio. Doreen hides her money in her tissue box and finds the money already there has been stolen. B realizes Hannah could not have been the thief, as she was in court at the time. Joan tells Hannah she's been asked to keep a special eye on her. Colleen interrupts to bring Chrissy to share with Hannah, which seems to throw Joan off her stride. Obviously she realizes it will be more difficult to get to Hannah if she is not on her own. Steve wants to know why Joan lied to cover up for him, and points out that B has access to the press and can write anything she likes. Joan tells him not to worry about that. B makes Chrissy admit that Steve didn't rape her, but finds out that the alibi Joan provided was also a lie. Chrissy claims that she did have sex with Steve as her part of a deal to get a visit from Chrissy, but he tricked her and gone back on his word. Joan interrupts Chrissy's story to point out that anyone would think she'd be fair game anyway. B decides to write her next article on sex in prison. Judy suggests to Hannah that her stay in prison would be more bearable if she tried to make friends with some of the other women. Mrs. Beamish gives Susie a present, as she'd been made aware that it was her birthday when Meg brought a present from Lizzie. She is offended when she sees that Susie prefers the homemade pincushion from Lizzie to the gold neck chain she bought herself. Susie goes to visit Lizzie but is refused permission to see her by Joan. Erica sees her instead and tells her she is likely to be released from her status as a ward of the state soon. Hannah asks Colleen for permission to work and see her solicitor. Meg sees Erica about a proposal for a halfway house and a craft shop, and suggests Judy to run it. Judy is told she will have to have approval to associate with ex-prisoners. Chrissy discusses escaping with Hannah, and Hannah offers her money to arrange it. Steve has Wendy over for dinner. Doreen gets hold of B's article about Chrissy's rape. Both Hannah and Doreen are amazed that Chrissy doesn't seem very happy that it has been printed. Faye accuses the women of stealing her money, and seems to be most suspicious of the new girls Hannah and Chrissy. Susie is shopping for clothes from the bargain rack in a dress shop when she meets Jackie, who takes her for dinner to celebrate her birthday. Erica sees the newspaper article and demands to see Steve immediately. Colleen phones him at home and is surprised when Wendy answers the phone as they are having breakfast together after she has stayed overnight with him. While Susie and Donna are in the restaurant, Donna Mason arrives. She is also a prostitute and sees Susie's potential. She gives Susie her address and says she can stay with her if she ever needs accommodation. Joan tells Faye she's off the book and will be transferred to another block. Susie asks for overtime but her boss expects sexual favors in return. Steve explains himself to Erica and Joan backs up his story. Joan is sent to fetch Chrissy to the governor's office. On the way she threatens Chrissy that Elizabeth will suffer if she does not do what Joan wants.
There you go. That was the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
I do like introducing this to people who haven't seen the show before.
It's really useful. Yeah.
There's so many characters. There's so many stories. Absolutely. And I'll go, yeah, that was one TV hour of... Prisoner, and that was all that was in there. So do you remember episode 290
with that summary? Yeah, quite a bit of the stuff has kind of come back to me. I remember Donna Mason, yeah, when she came into it, because the actress I think was English and she ended up being in some Ruth Rendell sort of thrillers over here much later. I think she'd Archie Whiteley, and I remember her character, and then she gets put into it Wentworth and she becomes hooked on drugs and then she tragically ODs, doesn't she? And B tries to save her because B's got this thing about like what happened with her daughter. Susie Driscoll, funnily enough, I've just been rewatching some of the earlier ones with her, and she does get a little bit annoying, but you sort of feel sorry for her because there are all those escape attempts when she was in Wentworth where she just keeps trying to get out. Now she's on the outside. She just seems to have a run of bad luck, doesn't she? The poor thing, really. You know, like getting, you know,
kidnapping
suggested she
and
could be a
like,
prostitute. Yeah, I know these, you know, these poor women. She does have a happy ending in the end, though, I think, doesn't she? Finally.
Yeah,
but,
and she gets a house named after her as well, which is
Of course, Driscoll House.
All anyone could ever want is to have a house named after them.
That's right, because isn't she the first inmate there or something, the first woman to live there, something like that's
something
why Judy
like
calls.
that.
I think that's why Judy calls it Driscoll House. Yeah. The stuff with Hannah is interesting. I think what's interesting is the time in which this was made, you know, and Joan as a predatory old dyke, and Hannah as the sort of young, you know, attractive blonde thing that she likes, and the way she comes on to her. I think this, looking at the summary, I don't think this happens in this episode, but yeah, there's lots of double dealings, isn't there? And then all the stuff with the book as well.
Yeah,
But
Joan's
yeah, as
just
well.
arrived, hasn't she? This is very early in
Just
the
establishing
Joan
herself.
time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how psychotic we know she is at this point. I know it's
She starts
introduced
pulling
quite
the black
early.
leather gloves, hasn't she? She started to give the women the body searches, and yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it quite soon that she beat? There's the awful bit when she beats up Chrissy and kicks the shit out of her, doesn't she? And I
Yeah.
think around this time, yeah. And then the Colleen and Erica are really horrified at what she's done, and she tries to cover it up and say, "Oh, it was self-defense and stuff." And it's like, why the hell did you go that far?
It's so good when Joan arrived because everyone just goes, "Oh, Vera was all right, actually."
Which do you prefer, Greg? I'm more of a Joan fan, to be honest. What about you?
She's the star of the show. It's
Do you prefer Joan to
her.
Vera?
Oh, absolutely. This is Joan's series. She's the absolute star of it.
For you, yeah.
In the last few years, they realized this and went, we're going to make as many of the storylines as possible just revolve around Joan because that's what people want.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So now we're up to speed with episode 290 with that thorough recap. Let's have a look at episode 291.
Why not watch along with us? It's the best way to enjoy our insightful analysis. There's a YouTube link in the episode blurb.
The whole thing with Leighton blew up because I told her I couldn't help her to see a child. Well, not on her terms anyway.
So she told more lies to get back at him.
Well, they'd have to be very good to convince Smith. She's no fool.
Those old
and
uniforms
she wrote
are hideous.
The article.
But she will try
Do you,
and back
don't you
the
like
system
them?
If she thinks she can get away with it.
Maybe she believes my
I
arm
mean,
will break down.
I like them on the show. I just
well,
hate
like
the idea
of
if I ever had to wear one.
Yes, but not long enough for that to have happened. Before we go any further, I was just wondering
it's
about
just the
that little
grayness
girl
of
of
everything,
yours.
I think.
Yeah? What about her?
Well, how much you really want to see her, for instance.
You know I do.
Badly.
Yes, badly.
Joan hasn't even got the gelled down hair in that yet.
No, yeah, it's yeah.
And if you want to see that,
that
little
happens
girl
a bit later.
Again, you'd better do as you're told.
I believe she wasn't she meant to be the character Chrissy at the end who gets Joan in for a job
I
and then
promised
fucks
you
with
there
her.
Would be no
Oh,
but you had no
yeah,
idea
it was Willie Beecham, wasn't it, in the end?
But wasn't it meant to be Chrissy, or they tried to get Chrissy first?
Chrissy would have been a lot better, I reckon.
Mr.
Yeah.
Faulkner was with Miss
She hated her for longer.
No way.
Yeah,
One
yeah,
of
Willie was, yeah,
mind.
It wasn't,
so
yeah,
now
it wasn't
you
the same.
are accusing two officers of lying.
What I'm saying is there are grounds for an investigation.
She was in the show as three different characters as well, wasn't she?
Yes, she was indeed. Yeah, she was the corrupt prison officer at the start, and then Faye's
someone's,
mother.
Someone's sister or mother, yeah.
I want
yeah,
you to tell
Faye
me
Quinn's
exactly
mother, I
what
think.
Happened. If I find it necessary, I will take the matter further. But I want to hear the truth first.
Nothing happened, Mrs. Davidson.
What? Go on.
Well, I sort of made an offer to Mr. Faulkner, and He wouldn't take me up on it, so...
So you made the whole thing up. I see.
Hey, wait a minute. What's going on here?
Shut up.
Oh, hang on here. She changed her tune.
Quiet, Smith. Latham, you are already on charges of theft and breaking parole. I should have thought that would have been enough. You can forget about privileges until further notice.
Yes, Mrs. Davidson.
As for you, Smith...
The things that are believed in this show, without any evidence whatsoever, are just astonishing.
Investigation you want.
On both sides
I'm
of the
sure
fence.
I'm sure you'll be happy to enlighten them.
Good drama, though. It's really well done, that scene.
Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, Dor.
Crikey,
she outstayed her welcome, Doreen.
On someone like that.
I'm sorry.
There's a pedo thief around here.
I like Doreen original... version of Doreen. When they kept bringing her back, she got crapper every time they brought her back.
She could be a pain. She's so self-pitying and at certain points. And just Jude is actually one of my favourite all-time characters.
Yeah, and also she's Jude's pretty consistent as a character.
Yeah. Although I think she became a bit softer as time went on. But,
I think you can always put that down to the heart. Yeah.
The production, yeah.
I know, but she had the heart problem as well, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So you could always make that excuse for why...
I guess.
Calm down a bit. Doreen was always as stupid as the plot required.
I always wanted her to get back with Kevin Burns, Greg, because I always thought they were really nice together. And it was, I don't know if you remember when Doreen did come back the last time. She was just there as a comedy element. Really.
She was there for like two episodes, wasn't she? And then
a few more, yeah.
I was longer.
To fill the post-B. Smith gap. Yeah, the plot was that she was she'd got herself involved with a foreigner and he wanted an arranged marriage.
He was trying to hide
put herself
him.
In Wentworth. Yeah,
yeah.
Thanks
for nothing, lady. Yeah, that was but by then I think maybe they were actually incredibly smart with that storyline because they just wanted to make sure no one ever wanted to see Doreen again. it could have been that.
Jeez. Oh, you should have seen the way B looked at me, like she could kill me or something.
It's the same with Lizzie, of course. When they release Lizzie and they go, oh, right, what are we going to do now? I will have to put her back in.
Oh, anyway, it's really lock-up time.
Yeah.
And then you get like three or four Lizzie replacements as the
old woman. On the forum, I was commenting on that because someone's just done a post where they said the same stock characters and there was Dot Farrah and Essie Parsloe and they just were not, they paled next to Lizzie, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone hated Dot Farrah.
In my view. Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Is it just me?
I think
she's
so,
definitely
yeah.
on the ones like... you didn't need another Lizzie. They've had that sort of character, so you didn't need another one. I didn't even know what to do with the original one by the end, so...
Maybe not. She got reunited with her family, didn't she?
Yeah.
Go for it, baby.
I know it sounds harsh, but you remember when Lizzie burnt, is it Sid's house down?
That's right.
I reckon that could have been a good end for Lizzie.
You mean it.
You know what I mean, though, in terms of that was a great storyline for her.
Yeah, yeah.
She could have died in the fire and framed the evil son.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon that would have been a banging storyline for her to go out on.
Yeah.
It's my kid I'm talking about.
What do you think of Chrissy, Greg? I mean, I think she's a great character, but she does go on about Elizabeth rather a lot, I think.
I kind of lost interest in her when around that time. I liked her at the start when she was just as nasty person for hire, essentially, at the start.
Yeah.
She was always very selfish, though, so there was always that consistency to her.
Did you ever watch a show called Richmond Hill, which was on for about a year after when Prisoner finished? And Amanda Muggleton, who played Chrissy, was in it as a tarty barmaid, owner of a bar, but sort of with a heart of gold. And Maggie Kirkpatrick was in it as well.
Okay.
A lot of the Prisoner cast were in it anyway, yeah.
I think that goes for any Aussie show, doesn't it?
They all show up being in the... Yeah.
I find it really weird whenever I see them in something else.
It is.
Because this is the only show that I really like that they could appear in. But if I happen to see that, you know, just a scene of another show that they're in, it just seems odd. But you can be useful. It's not the actor appearing in something else. It's their character from Prisoner appearing in something else.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of them have been in stuff like Neighbours, haven't they? But Neighbours is a lot more lightweight. I mean, this was, in some ways, kind of hard-hitting and serious. And I think, you know, yeah. I really like the lighting here, actually.
We always joke about the lighting, and sometimes we assume it's someone's day off in that they'll walk down a corridor and you just can't see anything. But something like this, this is stylized. This is good.
No, it is very film noir, and that was another thing in the later episodes, because the sets were much more brightly lit. And if you watch those really older episodes, it made it look a lot more oppressive the way it's shot like this, darker shadows and stuff.
Well, we did one of the early episodes, and we were, and it was one of the 500s. So one of the later episodes, one of the episode 550 or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And we were just commenting on how everything was khaki and beige, whereas at this point everything's just blue and grey. That's all it is.
At some point,
the show just changes from blue and grey to beige and khaki.
Well, you said you didn't like those prison officer. You know, it's sort of round about the again showing my geek knowledge here. I think round about the mid 400s. That's when the officers' uniforms change colour. But yeah, I like the darker look to the sets and things personally.
Yeah, it's a prison. It should look horrible.
Well, I reckon. Yeah, yeah. I think the more it moved into the 90s, the more sort of shiny the whole thing looked. You know.
Well, that's our 90s.
80s is what I meant. You all right, love?
Yeah, sure. I always say Australia 1983 is around like 1977 everywhere else.
Okay. We've got Buckley's help doing anything about it. This was another thing. I think Val Naiman said something like these were real women because they didn't wear makeup and stuff. And I guess, yeah. Screw's dangerous. And if Chrissy thinks she's going to get anywhere by making deals with her, then she's dumber than she looks.
Yeah. Listen, I can do without prison officers showing up here. Don't call someone dumb in front of Doreen. That just seems harsh. Yes, it is.
Well, what do you want? As a matter of fact, I've come on behalf of Chrissy. She wants to see her daughter.
Who does she think she is? She can't even run her own life. She doesn't deserve a child like Elizabeth.
Agree more. She must have played a different character as well. She looks very familiar.
And I think whoever played Chrissy's sister before, it was a different actress, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Because she's a lovely little kid.
There's got to be a list, hasn't there? Of the characters who were played by more than one person and also the actors who were in more than one character.
Not for long.
Yeah. Oh,
you've got full custody.
Not yet, but I soon will have. Just got to go through the courts.
Be real rough if you missed out.
Why should I? I've taken good care.
I remember when Chrissy tries to leave, run away with her daughter, and with everyone looking for her, goes to the airport. But you go, well, the last place they'll be expecting someone on the run to go to is an airport.
No. Going back to what you said, I think it would have been great to have a comeback at the end when she should be kept away from Joan was working for that security firm, and she, you know, to have her be revealed as the woman that was the boss would have been great. Yeah, shame they didn't do that. I guess it was because Amanda Muggleton wasn't available at the time.
But she's a Brit, isn't she? So she was probably over here. My mate reckons she was in Howard's Way, so.
Tomorrow. I will bow to his
greater judgment, but I've never seen Howard's Way. So.
With my geeky knowledge, I think I would have remembered her there. But
there you go, Daz. You know nothing.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Oh, bless. So, Hannah.
You never know when they're going to crawl out from under their rock, do you?
Chrissy, can I have a word with Hannah on her own, please?
Yeah, sure. You wait right here, Chrissy. I really don't think I've got anything to say to you.
Well, I'd like to straighten out a couple of things.
What about?
I just think we had a little misunderstanding, that's all.
No way. I read you loud and clear.
Well, you read wrong. Hannah, I wasn't making a pass at you.
Ooh.
Well, that's a new approach. Why don't you pass it on to Ferguson? She could do a little subtlety.
Yeah, she could. Look, I'm gay, Ferguson's gay, but that's where any similarity ends.
You don't say.
I would never push myself on someone. I believe that a relationship should be a two-way thing with some love and caring.
Look, love, Jude's all right. She's never come on, Evie. So why the extra interest?
I always forget that I'm not supposed to just stop and listen and watch the show.
Well, it was worth a try.
So easily done.
I've certainly never intended for you to take it the wrong way.
Well, I always thought I did have a vivid imagination.
Maybe you've been looking under too many rocks, huh? Well, now that that's settled, how about I keep Ferguson off your back while I'm here, okay?
Oh, and how about
she,
this?
That haircut, she looks just like Princess Diana, I think. Unsubstantiated.
Hey, Joan.
Oh. No, Hannah. Against officers
again, bit, yeah.
Around about 82, this wasn't it.
They did in the first place. Steve's been pretty good to them.
Yeah, it would be.
That's
so,
his mistake.
Yeah.
I always lose track of the numbers, so this has got to be serious.
It is. It's 82, yeah.
Well, he won't trust them again to keep
So Wendy, I mean, do you remember Wendy at the start? Right, she was a receptionist in the very early episodes.
Yeah.
You're not saying it was true.
She got written out very abruptly.
Steve's not the type to abuse his position. Anyway, you said you
I always remember Wendy, because she was initially called Wendy brackets receptionist in the credits. Mm. But then the episode after, she was just called Wendy Receptionist, which made me think it was her surname.
Which is her surname, yeah, you know. Yeah. Yeah, you know. Your job defines you, doesn't it?
It certainly did with her.
Tell you an interesting fact about the actress. She's also an opera singer, or she was. Yeah.
And if it was true,
really?
Wouldn't you do something
about it? Yeah, Helen Noonan. And she didn't break into any arias in Wentworth, though, sadly.
The most important thing is that we show some solidarity. Let each other know that there's someone we can rely
on. If she was around in, I don't know, what was her name, the Marlene Warren era, she probably would have, they would have had a song competition or something.
No, she wasn't. She goes in about an episode or two. She leaves.
Don't strain yourself, love.
Marlene Warren, I did not like. Did you?
No, me neither.
Can't stand her.
Yeah, why not? Somebody's got to keep things running.
That might be the start of the fastest way to get a bashing if you're I associate with the Nora era. It might be someone like Marlene coming in. I thought I could use the extra cash. It's almost like they introduced these characters just to annoy me.
Stupid comedy. Probably one of my favourite comic relief characters was Pixie. You know, I did like her, but Erica is an icon to me as well, I've got to say.
I think when it comes down to it, it comes down to Erica versus Am, I'm on Team Am.
Oh, are you really? Go on, why is that then?
I don't know, I just think she's...
I can't believe it, you know.
I prefer her as a character. I think Erica just jumped to so many conclusions about stuff.
I suppose she does, yeah. I like her obvious kind of her campness. I love her cut glass English diction, you know, the when she puts on the gloves and you know, she's kind of like an Australian Margaret Thatcher to start off with, but then Anne was kind of a bit more well. Anne was a bit more realistic, I suppose, in some ways, and a bit less caricatured.
I always like the scenes with Anne and Joan. I always thought there was plenty of good, because the hatred between them was always like bubbling under constantly in those scenes, because they couldn't actually come out and say how much they despised the other person. But the scenes were always really good between them.
Yeah.
That's right,
and towards the end, do you remember Anne had a boyfriend that was a priest, but he was a biker? And
we covered one of those episodes,
Joan said something about your bikey ex-boyfriend, and Anne lost it and slapped her across the face.
That was brilliant.
But he's still looking at me like I'm rubbish. You're not the only one. You're not very popular, but at least you're not...
Come on, Steve, you're working.
She's got plenty of money outside.
Yeah.
Putting a hard word on me, so why
probably knows he's leaving, so...
Where's that friend you're going to be? Or have you got anything in mind?
I'm working on it.
Okay, Latham, you've got a visitor.
Is it Elizabeth?
Yeah, she's with your sister-in-law.
Oh, tell me, Mrs. Powell, where is she?
In the garden. Look, aren't you going to finish this first?
You've got to be joking. I'm not interested in lunch with my babies here, am I?
Well, well. Looks like Ferguson came through with the goods after all.
I suppose dated. I mean, Fletch, Jared Maguire played Fletch really well. But,
hello,
yeah.
Are you then, hey?
Then you had Dennis Cruikshank, the Yorkshire Pud character later.
As someone from Lancashire, look, I'm not going to like a character from, I'm not going to like a character from Yorkshire.
Particularly
when he Yorkshires it up at every opportunity.
Well, he did a bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
I met him actually, Greg, a few years ago. I don't know if you met any of the prisoner actors, because I went to a convention and he lives in Winchester now, the actor. He was over there. He was a very nice guy.
I've never done any of the conventions and that kind of thing.
Have you not? No, I've only done once.
I always feel that I don't know enough. I'm always, I'm like a casual fan, so I don't know everything about the show. So I always think the people who know everything about it are the ones who go to those sort of things.
A bit like me. I did. I mean, also, I don't know if you remember, because God rest his soul, Lily Savage. What was the name of the actor?
Paul O'Grady.
That's right. Thanks. He sadly passed away, didn't he? But I went to see Prisoner Cell Block H, the musical, and that was brilliant. And Maggie Kirkpatrick was in it, and brilliant. I saw it when I was living in Brighton, and Paul O'Grady made Maggie Kirkpatrick lose it on the stage, and she's just sort of cracking up laughing. It's very funny. Yeah.
I'd be like between a rock and a hard place there, because I love Prisoner and I hate musicals. So
do you really?
It would be. It could be the best and worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it kept a lot of the elements, but it kind of made it into a bit of a joke, predictably as well. You know, like, yeah.
Well, you know what everyone's saying. Well, some of it is a joke. It's just that that's all people, some people think of the show. They ignore all the good stuff and just go, they had dodgy sets and some bad actors. You go, yeah, but that's not the whole thing. It wasn't that for 7 years.
No, sure. And the thing is, it was filmed. It was meant to be a serious drama, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not their fault. I mean, things like the budget and stuff isn't the show's fault, is it? So
it's no worse than British TV, you know, like at the time, you know, things like Doctor Who and what have you.
Yeah, never really watched that either. But
I'm a big fan.
I'm of the opinion I don't really like television. I just like this.
Really? Good choice.
Them's the breaks with this job. Look, you try and do anything for these women, and all you get is a kick in the guts. The only person who understands that is another officer, believe me.
She's not at the point yet where she's kind of... Because when she realises the others are against her, that's when the relationships with the other officers break down, and they're being snide to each other and stuff. It's still early days.
Yeah, she was always sneaky at this stage, just trying to get away with everything and go, oh, that's nothing to do with me. And she had an excuse for everything. But
yeah.
Eventually, they just started pulling her up on it, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They get wise to it.
Well, I thought I'd stash it myself.
I'd be bloody stupid.
Well, yeah, the Peter thief.
Yeah, speaking of that, it looks as though I won't be getting my money back before I leave. I was hoping I could find out who it was, too.
Oh, maybe we could send you yours later, you know, when we catch him.
Are you kidding? You keep it. Have a big party. I'm going to be earning top money out there. You know...
I've also read, Greg, sorry, go on my geek knowledge. I've got Betty Bobbitt's autobiography, and it's a good read, actually.
I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, she wrote it, because sadly she passed away, but she wrote it. It's called On the Inside. It's either called On the Inside or On the Outside. Most of it is about her filming Prisoner and playing Judy, and she goes on about just what, like, a family the cast were and what a great time she had. And, yeah.
Don't see why not. Have a word in Davos.
Oh, I was hoping it would be all nasty and backstabbing.
I think she's a bit of a soft. She talked about how when one of her sons is ill, she has to go into hospital to see him. And some over enthusiastic fans come up to her and say, "Look, it's Jude, look, it's Jude." And they won't leave her alone. She's like, "Can I have some privacy?" And they start calling her a bitch. Just because she wants, you know, some privacy. But she doesn't say anything nasty about people per se, I don't think.
And I was just hoping, like, the other actors just goes, I'll tell you this about Meg.
I love that kind of thing. Yeah.
Did you
know Val Lehman and Elspeth Ballantyne, Meg didn't get on?
Yeah, apparently.
Did you hear about that? Yeah. Val Lehman hated her.
Sounds just like my dad's family.
Yeah. Wasn't it like an argument over expenses or something like that as well?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Well, it started like that and they just eventually became enemies.
Yeah, Elspeth Ballantyne had done a lot of programs for Grundy's, the company that makes Prisoner, and she was like a real established star. And she was like the snitch, so if she heard other cast members doing bad stuff, she'd dob them in on the phone. And Val Lehman sort of got wise to what she was doing, I think. Yeah.
So. I'm so scared she's going to get Elizabeth.
Honestly, Meg, how could you?
I wish I had someone else who could
be. Yeah, I know. She's supposed to be a nice prison officer. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
But again, I can't imagine. I can't imagine the actors doing that. I can only picture Meg doing that.
No,
and therefore,
no. But I think Val Lehman too. I mean, like, I think apparently she was. Have you heard the stories, Greg? I mean, she was in it for 400 odd episodes, and she fell out with the producers and things. I think, and she became, when you're an established star, she, you know, she got a bit big for her boots. I think, really, and yeah.
To break out.
That's right. You let me know what he says.
Well, she's kind of promoting herself as the big prisoner star when she does all the like reunion stuff and anniversary things.
That's right.
And signings and that. Is she the one who kind of organises those now or something?
Yeah. The funny thing is, I think it's a bit like Doctor Who, actually. If you go back in time, around the time that the actors wanted to disassociate themselves from it, and some of them don't. But years down the line, I think they realise it's a moneymaker, you know, all these conventions and stuff. So they change their tune about the programme.
It's a pension, isn't it, in the end?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like recording a Christmas single. The money keeps rolling in, no matter how you get to it.
Judy, yeah. Well, have you seen too on YouTube?
She likes you.
Greg, what's the channel called? It's a guy in Australia called Matt, and basically he's managed to get back a lot of the cast members and interview them, including Val Lehman and people like that. Some of them, because it's so many years, they don't remember. You know, their memory of the show is very hazy.
Yeah, it's just a job for them, isn't it? After all.
Precisely, like Colette Manu played Doreen. I don't think she particularly likes talking about it.
Your article caused so much embarrassment. He's decided to cancel a column.
Yeah, Erica, darling. Ooh.
Too special.
Oh, Susie.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Susie.
Oh, this is when she's working in the fast food at the Chuck Wagon.
What did they tell
you? Yeah.
Love the cowgirl outfit. Fantastic.
But you're supposed to see that doesn't happen.
Well, it wasn't my fault.
But it's your job.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, hasn't he got a Brummy accent?
You're almost finished. What have you been doing in between?
I've been flat out with takeaways, you know.
And it sounds like a real one.
The job's too tough. There's a dozen. Crossroads Motel to move to Australia.
You better smarten up. I don't like excuses.
You don't like me just because I've
got... Oh, it comes and goes.
I was prepared to discuss it, and that's all.
Yeah.
You want to work here, girl, you better smarten up. There's a customer over there.
My favourite accent in the whole of Prisoner is when Meg's married to Bob, and he gets to show the Swedish woman around. I don't even know if she's Swedish.
I know exactly what you mean.
That's my favourite accent in the whole show. It's amazing.
Are you being sarcastic by any chance?
No, it's my favourite. I'm aware it's bad, but it's my favourite.
That's what you mean, yeah. When you say amazing, with, you know, heavily ironic there, yeah.
Well, it's the fact that it changes accent from word to word. I've never heard anything quite like it. So.
Possibly because she wasn't Swedish or whatever.
I think there's a chance she may not have been Swedish. But
no, I know. Yeah, you can always tell, can't you? I do remember. Bob, he was horrible. He was awful to Meg. Meg had some bad men in her life, quite honestly.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be too much.
Well, all of them. Pretty much all of them.
And Chrissy never got lucky with the fellas either.
He will.
No.
No one sweet talks better than Duncan.
But then she did accuse them of rape when they turned her down, which...
I suppose so, yeah. So great.
Susan?
Are you all right, dear? You look exhausted.
Yeah, I am a bit.
Burning the candle at both ends. Not good for a young girl.
Yeah, well, I haven't got any money, so I'll be home tonight.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Is Amanda in?
No, dear. She's gone out.
Oh, I wanted to talk to her.
Oh, she's such a good girl. Always in on time. You could take a lesson from that girl.
Yeah.
Susan.
Yes?
There are other ways of enjoying yourself than by throwing money around, you know.
Like how?
Well, there's a church social club dance next week and some of our girls are going.
This is how they get you.
Why don't you join them?
Absolutely.
I don't think so.
Look, I'll give you the entrance fee myself. How about that?
That's really nice of you, Mrs. Beamish, but I reckon I'd like that stuff.
Oh, Mrs.
You
Beamish.
You just don't know when you're well off, my girl.
I can find my own fun.
Yes, but that can be
Yes, and you're about to, aren't you? Ours.
Now, look, there are lots of nice girls here. You should make friends with them.
I have. So why don't you just leave me alone? I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
So she's just met them in the previous... So it's mentioned in the recap, isn't it, that she met Donna? Mm. So
that's right, yeah. And Donna sort of... Oh. Yeah, leads her off the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Lizzie?
Yeah, okay.
Well, how about picking up the dirty
Lizzie, first appearance of the episode as well.
Indeed.
What are you up to anyway?
Studying form. Well,
not you. And we haven't seen Meg yet.
Mad in the print shop.
That's true.
That's why I need a
I'm not so fussed about that.
I've got to lose all my dough.
I don't mind Meg. It's just the fact that because she's always there, I'm not that bothered when she isn't.
Did you also know she was the only character to stay in it, be in it from start to finish? The only actress to. Yeah.
There's only about half a dozen episodes that she's not in over the course of the whole run, isn't there? But so much of her scene is her just standing at the back of the visiting room.
Yeah. My partner absolutely hates Lizzie's voice. You know that she just, you know, the I'm out, you know, like loud and yeah.
Nails down a blackboard, isn't it? I can understand
exactly why. Yeah.
I can understand why people would think that.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm
lovely white outfit, mate.
Back from holiday, obviously.
It's jumping the gun a bit.
Oh, they're going to the halfway house.
I don't think so. Come on, Judy. Sign out.
Oh, a bit nervous, you know.
What on earth for?
I don't know. New house, new job, everything.
And this time it's for keeps, right?
You bet.
Oh, Wally.
What are you doing here?
I came to see you, of course. It's a big day, isn't it?
He hung around for a while. He was coming and going for a while in this, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
It's all right, Miss Ferguson. I'll deal with this. Actually, we were just on our way out. I'm taking Judy to have a look at a new house.
Good-o. I'd like to be the first visitor. Can I come along?
I'm afraid not. You see, it's still official business.
All right.
Mind you, if you just turned up at the same place, I could hardly prevent that from happening, could I?
Funny thing, that. Just what I had in mind.
What's wrong?
Some rotten mongrel's taken my dough.
What, are you sure?
Course I'm
I can't even remember who the thief was in this.
Calm down, Lizzie.
I'm trying to think. I was just thinking that it was Lizzie. Because Lizzie is later revealed to have nicked off everyone, wasn't she?
All right,
But I don't think it's this storyline.
No, that has happened before. Yeah.
No, wasn't it when she was about to be released, she confessed that she'd stolen loads of stuff?
Okay, look, I'm as bloody sick of this as you are.
Possibly.
I'm going to sit a trip.
I don't think it's this story, though.
Looking forward to me Tucker after a shock like that.
I do think they write themselves into a corner on occasions. And suddenly go, right, who are we going to have as the thief? Who hasn't lost stuff? Really well. It'll have to be them.
I wish she'd keep that dough on her instead of hiding it in our dorm. Maybe she's found a really good place to hide it this time.
You know what Doreen's like, though. She'll probably hide it where anyone could find it.
Have you ever been to Australia, Greg?
No. I'm not keen on flying, so I never will.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a shame. One day I would love to go. I do. We've got a kind of family member who lives near Melbourne, so it'd be a good excuse, actually. Yeah, it's a long way, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like, I wouldn't want to fly that distance just for like a two-week holiday. I'd want to maybe do Australia and New Zealand and tour around everywhere. Yeah. But
oh, well. No, yeah, makes sense. Well, that's a halfway house. Early modern
collapse, yeah.
Do you remember how Jude left the show? Right, because I didn't. The way she got written out was a bit stupid. Let's see.
It was.
The pop star, Sheila.
Yeah, writing songs.
That's right. Yeah. Myra? It was. And also, Judy's daughter, Laurie, you know, it was interesting that she was supposed to be a lesbian, but somewhere along the line, she slept with someone and had a baby.
Which she never mentioned because she.
She
does mention early on that she's never been with a bloke, so...
And then, hey presto, something obviously happened, didn't it? It was a shame when Judy got written out, I thought, that she didn't get back together with Laurie, but maybe the actress wasn't around.
Yeah, it was... Judy Goins seemed to be quite quick. It seemed to go from... She had years left to do to suddenly being released... It seemed to turn around quite quick, so I wonder if it was like contractual.
They do that, don't they? What can I say? You know, she was in it long time. I don't know what I was expecting.
I wasn't expecting or anything, but that's got to be... Well, obviously, it's after Pixie leaves, so that's, 500?
That's right, yeah. Okay, yeah. There's nothing wrong here that can't
be fixed with a hammer and a few nails. And she's in it from about, I don't know, Madame, 100 satisfied. Or maybe before that even.
That's right. About episode 90, it was just the start of the second season. Well, Madame has completely overlooked the potential of
this. Well, Sharon's in,
That's right, to your own taste and satisfaction, that you have to renovate your own taste and satisfaction. Wally's a good character, though. Anyway, look, I'll be around the place.
I'm pretty nifty with a hammer. Oh, I bet you are.
That's all it'll take, just a few coats of paint, a few knickknacks, you know, and then it'll be right. Tell you what I do. I'll bring down some pottery from my place. That'll start your shop off.
Oh, come on, Wally, I can't let you do that.
I've got a few bits and pieces hanging around. They're seconds, you see. The galleries won't take them.
He seemed to know everyone as well. I'm not sure why. He's just sort of like a handyman that everyone knew.
Cheer up. He is, yeah.
You know, if it goes wrong here, there's always a bed at my place.
I know, love. Well, I took on this job. I might as well stick to it, and I'd better get
started. He's in as Judy's friend, and obviously later on he's with Anne.
Huh? Anne, that's right.
But he kind of disappeared a few times and came back.
Yeah. The last time he comes back is when the women have this fate in the prison gardens. And, I think that's what Myra escapes wearing a very stupid hat. Do you remember? She pretends to be a prison visitor.
That's one of my favourite escapes on the grounds that it is.
It's original,
Well, it's just walking out in wearing the most conspicuous hat possible. What the hell do you think you're to escape with? My customers. It wasn't my but then you've got these highly trained. Do you understand? That's what you're paid for. What are they, like Marines and stuff? Who try to break Ruth out of prison and they can't do it.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
If I'd just put a hat on and walked out, they'd have been fine.
Oh, yeah. You know, obviously the solution they're missing, you know. Because I've had it. Yeah.
You and your job can go and get stuck. To be fair, no one would have thought of doing that. Apart from Myra.
You tell him, Susan. I love the pink curtains and decor. Very nice. It's a bit kitscher than McDonald's.
I haven't been in one, but I assume they're all very similar to that sort of thing.
Mm.
Probably without the cowboy hats lying around.
Congratulations. Maybe. Your parole went through all right. Yeah. I should be out of here in an hour or so.
Wish I could say the same thing.
Honey, Ferguson gives you a hard time. You go and see B. She'll look after you.
Yeah.
So what was Judy back in for?
It was when...
She's on remand, isn't she?
Hazel. Do you remember Hazel, Greg?
Yeah.
Hazel was... Hazel turns up at the halfway house. Because she's a very tragic character that has loads of problems with her kids and what have you.
Yeah.
But she basically has got a brain tumor. And
no, no, that's later on, though, isn't it?
Oh, right. But that is she gets put back in.
No, I mean, this time, what was she in for?
Oh, it was the stuff to do. I was watching it recently when she's a taxi driver and she picks up a customer.
Do you remember,
who wants to have a fling with a prostitute, and then the customer accuses her of trying to steal his wallet, and the wallet gets found on her.
They found it in a bin.
Conveniently in a bin. Yeah, she chucked it away in there without realising, and then, yeah.
All right, I'll do it. Thanks a million, Jude. I won't forget you.
I missed that.
That's the problem. The ones with the characters who leave and come back to prison multiple times, I can never remember what they're in for when they've come back in.
No.
Susan, I do not expect you to brush past me like that when you come in.
I just want to be on my own.
Did they let you off early today?
No.
Then why aren't you at work? You're still on the afternoon shift, aren't you?
I'm not on any shift anymore.
They haven't asked you to leave.
No, I took off myself.
What?
I couldn't face it anymore. Being yelled at and not getting enough money, being flat out on my feet all day, it was horrible.
But you just can't walk out like that.
Well, I did.
Well, what about your employer?
Oh, that pig. Oh, please, just leave me alone.
Susan, what are you going to do? No job, no money.
I don't know.
Then there's your board. I mean, we can't afford to keep you here for nothing, you know.
Well, you won't bloody well have to.
Susan!
I'll get another job, or I'll go on the dole.
You most certainly will not. Our girls are expected to work. Now, I suggest you go back to your employer and see if he'll take you back.
No, I'll never do that.
You need to have a long, hard look at yourself, young lady.
My hair's an incredible shape.
And you are not living up to
the bouffant.
I shall leave you to think on that.
It's kind of parted there, bouffant is there.
Yeah.
It's got these weird waves going on.
Mm.
I'd just like to say that we hope it does real good for you on the outside, Jude.
Well, I'm sure going to try.
Of course, we'd like to say that we wish you weren't going.
Get on with it, Doreen.
I am. And,
Does she do the poignant look back at the prison as she leaves?
Probably,
that's,
yeah.
That's normally the sign they're never going to be seen again.
Little knowing what's going in store, yeah.
That's real good, you know. Huh?
And then we get the cheesy background music.
I'm going to do one of these just about the music on the show. I love it how it's sometimes really good, but also sometimes completely inappropriate.
Dreadful,
What's been shown.
They used a lot of stock soundtracks and stuff, didn't they? Just played it again and again.
I'm going to miss you.
I love it when that some of it was this weird kind of experimental electronica that they used.
Yeah.
And they play that over like murders and stuff. You go, really? Is that the? So it's an interesting choice they made.
And again, it's a sign of the times because the really early ones are these sort of disco-style strings and things like that. There was an episode, Greg. When, do you remember? Like Jim goes to like a local disco when he's on sort of he's out on the pull and it's bloody hilarious.
Oh goodness, it's
I don't think that's ever changed. I think shows now where they have to have like non-copyrighted music in order to be in a, like a club or something like that. It's always dreadful, the stuff they come up with. So if they're not willing to pay to use a proper song, it means they're going to make something quite cheaply
to play in.
So someone on work experience with a Casio keyboard, that might just be what they have. They put the boom too close to that door, didn't they?
Perhaps, yeah. Talking of weird electronic music.
Yeah. It's exactly the sort of thing I mean.
Lizzie, what are you doing?
So even if someone who's watched the show multiple times, I still can't remember specifically why she's done that.
No, no, nor me.
I'm sure it makes sense in context, but... I wonder if they had the music first and built a scene around it.
I'll be skipping the country.
Bryant, you haven't been searched yet.
Oh, dear.
Come here.
Here's the dramatic music that they do.
You've been through it all before. Funny you should forget about this. Can't wait to get your ugly paws on someone, can you? Don't be insubordinate, Bryant. You're not out of here yet.
Although the weird electro would be weird over this scene.
This? You're not going anywhere, Bryant, except back to your cell where you belong.
Now look, that letter's very important to Hannah. You hand that over and you might as well forget about her.
I will do whatever I like with Simpson, and whenever. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Now you listen to me, Ferguson. If you are responsible for me staying in this place, I will make it my life's work that you never get near Hannah or anyone else for that matter.
I like how the American accent really comes out when she says Ferguson.
Yeah, Ferguson. Good for her.
All right, Bryant.
It's not like she had to say it very often over 4 years that she was there, or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks.
Is that Joan's first loss on the show?
Maybe, yeah.
I like how they lead them out in various places, depending on who needs to see them.
Now we just sit tight and let it all happen.
Not much of a cliffhanger.
No. Because they're just happy the letter got through. Yeah.
Colleen wasn't even called Colleen in that. She just called Officer Powell.
Yeah, she was for a while, and then finally they gave her a proper name, Christian. Yeah.
On our last rewatch of this, I was actually surprised how early she's in it. Because...
Which?
Colleen.
Who? Uh-huh.
She's in it really early.
Yeah, but she just popped up in the odd episode. Yeah, she wear she's wearing specs and she has all her hair pulled back.
She yeah, you know, she's kind of like a, when they need a spare screw, she's the one who they do.
That's right. Yeah, uh-huh.
And she was kind of nice in those early ones. And then when Vera left,
yeah.
Rewrite character completely.
This is like I was saying to you, those episodes I saw when she was, you know, being such a bitch to Alison Page. Yeah. But then they mellowed her. It's not very subtle writing when you started to focus on Colleen's kids and then her daughter got kidnapped. And slowly they sort of softened her.
You're supposed to, like, give a shit about them. And you go, hang on a minute, you can't give a shit about them because you've just spent the last 20 episodes showing what a horrible person.
I know. But I mean, they even did that with Joan, didn't they, really? You know, like when we had the Major, and then do you remember Terry Malone, the same actress?
Yeah, and also that horrible kid.
Oh, God, Shane, yeah, he was dreadful. Shane,
that was
Annie Joan. Whining.
I mean, you shouldn't have a go at the children acting on TV.
But he was awful. I suppose.
He was absolutely awful.
And
he kept coming back as well. So like every time he left, you go, well, at least that storyline's over. Now here he comes again. And he's...
All right.
So I normally ask people what they think is going to happen in the next episode, but you'll know what happens in the next episode. So what do you think?
Let's pretend I've got no idea.
Well, what would you like to have happened in the next episode?
That's a good question. Oh my goodness. Right. For the women, because it's becoming increasingly obvious, isn't it, that Joan's corrupt and nasty and has it in for the women, and she's saying that they're going to basically spring her and uncover her corruption to Erica and the authorities. She's going to get what she deserves because she's a pretty unpleasant piece of work.
They didn't hang around in revealing Joan to it. They could have made it kind of slow burn into seeing what she was really like, but it was 0-60, wasn't it, with her? Straight away, she's going to be the bad one.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, pleased that Judy got out. And, you know, if I didn't know better, I'd hope it would be, like, fingers crossed, you know, like...
She's
going to make a success. Yeah, precisely. She's going to be a rip-roaring success with the Halfway House, and she'll never go back to Wentworth. That would be good. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I would like to happen. But, what about you?
I even now I've watched these, I still struggle to remember exactly what happens in the storyline. I mean, from that episode on its own, you can't see the prostitution storyline for Susie.
Yet. Yeah,
just from that,
she's just quit the job at the fast food, doesn't she? So she's obviously going to find something else.
So having not watched 290 directly before it, there's no suggestion from that she you could say she's going to go out stealing again and go back inside or something that way, because when they follow a character after they've left, it generally means they're going to do something to go back in.
Sometimes, that's right.
But yes, there was no suggestion that that's where the storyline is going to go for that.
Which
is good. Hannah, she's around for a while yet, isn't she? I'm trying to remember how long she's...
Joan sort of tries to come on to her even more and sort of blackmails her and tries to get her to them, but nothing, because this is you don't see anything, do you? But then the women, do you remember that the women decide that they've had enough? They take the stand and they, like, go on strike. And it was this episode when they're outside in the garden and they stand in a line and refuse to go in. And then
that's a great scene.
You can stay exactly where you are. And then Joan gets a hose. Do you remember? And she hoses them all down. It's really mean. And Lizzie gets ill and they're forced to go inside. But then they go on. They're battered, but they're not bowed. They're in the rec room and they suddenly barricade it. And they're like, you know, but then Joan manages to get one over on them again because she's such a cow.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
No, and then I guess in the end it leads to remember the fire episodes. I mean, those were brilliant. I mean, it was just, but then B gets, you were saying earlier, and this is the unbelievable thing, you know, B's a bloody murderess, isn't she? But then she gets the offer of parole and she really wants it, and she's petrified Ferguson's going to fuck it up for her, excuse my language. And
fine.
And then
you should hear some of the stuff on some of the other episodes.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, and she's really worried about it, isn't she? And then of course Ferguson does every trick in the book to get her to, you know, to mess it up for her, and she does. Do you remember she, B, gets some work experience, and B, Ferguson calls the employer and basically tells them, B's this, that, and the other, she's a murderess, do you really want to employ her and everything? And it's just, she's just a thoroughly nasty
piece of work. The weird thing about that whole storyline about Joan trying to ruin everything for B, is that Joan wants rid of B. Why wouldn't she want to, why would she want B to stay in the prison and make her life more difficult? It makes more sense for Joan to want B to get released.
Yeah, like, because finally, you know, that's how B leaves, doesn't she? She gets a transfer to Barnhurst, you know, which was a bit of an anti-climax for the way her character left. I know a lot of fans thought that was a bit crap, but you could argue she could have done that ages ago.
Yeah, yeah. It's it all seemed a bit weird, but that particular storyline when she's trying to keep her in Wentworth, I always thought, that doesn't make sense. She wants rid of her.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah. Weird. But these things happen. This is what happens when you have multiple writers on a show.
They change stuff, don't they?
Yeah. You have to suit whatever the narrative is that week. So just as a character's been there for years, it doesn't necessarily mean the writer is aware of something the character's done 2 years ago. So, I'm guessing most soaps were like that. Where if you dig into it, there's loads of inconsistencies with characters and things like that. So who knows? But B and Joan, they are the two stars of Prison, aren't they? They're the two biggest characters. And there's just this small period where they overlap. Relatively small period where they overlap.
Yeah. So it's actually because... Again, because Ferguson comes in about episode 287, and B leaves in episode 400. So it was actually, that was quite a lot of episodes they were in it together. But considering how long they were in, I know what you mean. Yeah.
It was actually one of the quick, I'll do this quick. I mean, you don't get the quiz because you'll know all the answers, right? So you don't get to take the quiz.
You'd be surprised. Really? Oh, that's the point.
We can do it if you want, but it's... That is essentially one of the questions that's.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Jesus, you can tell I'm sad. You know, I know the episode okay.
And the character. I'll do the. I won't give you. See, there are multiple choice answers, because generally I'm going to ask these for people who haven't watched much of the show or certainly like not an expert in it.
Quizener Cell Block H.
Who's the first character to be seen getting murdered in the prison?
It's not one called Murdered, Greg. Murdered, not suicide. Actually, someone
murdered. Yeah.
Was it Bella Albrecht? Bella Albrecht.
No, it's... it's Bill Jackson.
Ah, stupid me. Sorry, I was thinking about the women. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about the...
It might be a trick question. On the website. Yeah. Which character knew Susie Driscoll? We had a Susie episode. Which character knew Susie Driscoll prior to her arrival at Wentworth?
I've been watching those ones recently. Who the devil was it?
These would all be ridiculously easy if I gave you the...
Helen Smart.
The four answers.
Was it Helen Smart?
No, it's Mouse.
No. There you go, I'm wrong again. That's right, it's come back to me because she used to babysit her.
But then the four answers that I've got are Joyce, Judy, Meg and Mouse. So it would be easy to get Mouse from that. Because you just go, it's not going to be the other three, is it? Who found a gun buried in the prison garden?
Oh my gosh.
This is what I'm doing.
See?
All the people who know prisoner, I'm going to do it this way from now on.
Yeah, no, this is where you really have to think, don't you?
The newbies are going to get the potential answers. But...
going to make a wild guess on Lizzie, but I might be wrong.
No, it's Daphne.
Daphne. Oh, her. Yeah. Oh, God, I couldn't stand it.
That era, yeah.
Yeah, the Barnhurst.
There you go. Easy one. What colour was Julie Egbert's cardigan?
Pink.
Yeah.
Thank God I got one right. I'm starting to go down. Yeah.
the actress playing which character changed overnight?
Oh, Wendy. No. Oh, God, I've forgotten. I know the one. It was in like the Rita era, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The actress. Are you asking the name of the character?
The character, yeah. Some of these are easy if you just watch the episode that it was in. So
I can't. I do know the character. I just
Lisa Mullins.
Right, yeah.
Lisa Mullins. Uh-huh. And also, she brilliantly went from a blonde to a brunette, didn't she?
Yeah, like you do. Yeah.
They had a colour in her hair as her first scene. There you go. How many episodes were there between Joan Ferguson arriving and B. Smith leaving?
Wow. She came in 287 and B left in 400. So what is that? That's, if I do the math, 114, is it?
Yeah. That's it. So I'll do 114, 147, 198 or 233 because it seems like it'd be more, but it's not. So.
It's not, yeah.
What was Laura Lee Wilkinson's real first name?
Oh my God, this is hard. It's hard. Oh, poor donkey. So her real name wasn't Lorelai. You're talking about the character.
Yeah, the character's real first name.
Real first name.
I think she's introduced as it because Joan recognises her and calls her it.
Lindsay,
I don't know. No, it's Lurline.
Sorry, what?
Lurline.
What bizarre name? What kind of a name is
it? Exactly. That's what I thought. That's why I thought I was going to make it as a question.
Yeah,
which three characters did Alf Stewart play?
Right.
This is so first names only as well, so.
Ernest Craven.
Yeah.
Kurt Renner. Was it Kurt Renner? And. Oh, the horrible Vietnam one that was the friend of Jeff Butler.
That's it. You got the surnames as well. So, yeah, Jeff, Kurt and Ernest was the ones for that. What was Rita's brother called?
Bongo.
Bongo.
Bongo Connors.
We did a whole episode where we couldn't stop saying Bongo throughout it. It was
stupid.
And the best one, best question... who moved Vera's radio?
God, who moved it? Oh, was this in the prison?
This might be an in joke that me and a few of us have, and it's about something that was actually a plot in one episode, but just brushed over. It's.
Give us a clue, Greg. It's not when she was in the prison, was it? Or was it when she was at home?
Yeah. It's when she's in prison. Anyway, the answers are Colleen, Fletch, Meg, and we just don't know.
Colleen?
No, we just don't know. It was kind of abandoned.
It just got moved. And it was just
Her radio just showed up somewhere else, and it's mentioned that her radio's moved, and then it's never mentioned again. And we found it most amusing that it was that was included.
But that's what a prisoner did sometimes, didn't it? Yeah. Not only did radios go missing, characters would just disappear and never be mentioned again.
Yeah.
Not
it didn't go missing.
Yeah.
It just moved.
Sorry. Right. Yeah. Sorry, you sound. Okay.
That would be a different question. What happened to Vera's radio?
Yeah.
This one is just, that's the series three of this. What happened to Vera's radio? This one's just who moved Vera's radio.
I'll explain this one.
The podcast was almost called something about Vera's radio, and I went, no, this is going to be too niche. No one's going to understand what Vera's radio means. So there you go. Yeah, it's difficult without the potential answers, isn't it?
Makes you really have to think. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think I'd have got any apart from the Julie Egbert one. Oh, and the Vera's radio one, to be honest. That's, There is one more thing I'm doing this series because I thought I'd ask everyone a question. So it's either it could be based on the episode we've just watched, or it could be all time, depending on how much Prisoner you've watched. Who's your least favourite character?
Good question. Oh, gosh.
Because everyone's... I was going to ask about favourite characters, but if your favourite character isn't Joan Ferguson, you're watching the show wrong.
I think Lexi Patterson. Lexi Patterson.
Oh, God, yes.
Played by... You know, she was the daughter of Marie Trevor, who became the producer later. So there was obviously a bit of nepotism there, the way that she was cast. And yeah, I mean, she comes in as a boy Scrappy George type character, doesn't she? Yeah, okay. And it was just like, people were commenting on the facts. I think this was about 1984. And Culture Club, you know, remember, they'd been around for a good 2 years. So, you know,
and he'd stopped looking like that by that point.
Precisely. It was way behind. It kind of thought it was, I suppose she was all right to begin with, but then she just became... She was just one of those self-pitying, moaning, annoying characters that was just sort of kind of out for herself and was always screechy and sometimes not very nice to the other women.
And she'd get riled up really easily as well. And
yeah, she was very kind of immature.
And then always get beaten up as well. She lost every fight she was ever in.
And she outstayed her welcome massively. I mean, sort of Marlene Warren would probably be a close second, I think, actually, you know. Definitely.
Same sort of time, weren't they? There must be crossover between those.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, Marlene came in before Lexi did. But yeah, those two I'm not fans of at all, basically.
Nah, no. I agree. Both.
What about you?
I think Nora having such a big role in the show and being so constantly melodramatic and dull might be her. But I think the character I despise the most is probably Mervyn Pringle.
Yeah.
Black hole. A black hole of entertainment, don't you?
Well, it was interesting in those later episodes because Joyce, you know, when she started, she was a lot kind of, if you watch her in the early episode, she's quite hard and just sort of, you know.
Yeah.
But later they made her into the comedy element. And I think she's this kind is of when a bit kooky in,
and doing the silly dancing the prisoners thing, and getting drunk
and they brought and losing her glasses and then, you know, her hair and everything. And then Mervyn was obviously brought in, you know, those two were the comedy relief, weren't they? But it was just a bit.
Well, they're probably meant to be, but. I just thought, I don't care about Melvin's cooking.
Not me. Mrs. O'Regan was better.
I want him to go away. That's fine.
I'm with you there. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
I don't think he was very good at acting either.
No,
unless he was, I don't know, but I think you're supposed to find him charming.
And I'll tell you again.
He's just a bit of a bell end.
I know. And again, you know, the prisoner syndrome of the same actors. Do you know he was in it earlier as a potential date for Doreen? You know,
he was.
I only
spotted that during our last rewatch.
Yeah. And I think he was in Neighbours as Gail's father, Gail Robinson, a long time ago.
Okay, I can't remember. I watched Neighbours for a bit, but I don't really have much of a crossover. Because I think a lot of the people from prison who did appear in it appeared after I stopped watching. Because I lasted as long as when Natalie and Brulia left, I think I stopped watching. Because
did you? Oh well, I saw Scott and Charlene.
Oh no, so I probably started around Scott and Charlene time and lasted until Natalie and Brulia, and then
because going back to uni, not for me what you anymore. Were saying about. Yeah, sure. Going back to uni, what we said, you know, when I was telling you that's when I got into it, it was Neighbours was running at the same, and both of them became like a cult, I think, really, although, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, I think I was more of a casual view of Neighbours. Like I'd watch it if I just happened to catch it. I was never bothered about, I missed an episode, I must know what happened. I could go like a month without seeing an episode, and then I'll just go, oh, I'll watch it again. But I could never have done that. Once I started watching Prisoner and I saw this episode, I had to watch the next episode.
You got hooked.
I had to watch Yeah. Classic. And so, and the problem with watching it over on Granada and Central is that I haven't watched the next episode of two completely different series that they're showing. So it's good to know that it's, and sometimes you quite easily get confused over what characters you're watching and what the stories are and that sort of thing. But it works quite well anyway.
Just plugging my phone in, Greg, actually, because the battery's running down a bit.
Like, that's all right. I think we're nearly done anyway. We've done an hour and a half.
Epic
fucking tour. Flies by.
Yeah. No, great to watch the episode because it gave, you know, really good as a basis for discussion. Works really well. Yeah.
That's the plan. I wanted to do this for like 3 years before I actually bothered to get around to it.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was initially I was going to do it in the first lockdown and so I just didn't have any enthusiasm. The weather was too nice and I was just getting drunk in the garden all day. And I thought, last year I went, I'm finally going to get my podcast sorted. And I recorded New Year's resolution last year. Finally got around to recording the first episode in March. Then finally finished editing it in like June. I've got to come up with a better process for this.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how what this is. So
it is,
what I'm doing at the moment.
What
I'm trying to do is I'm trying to record in bulk. So I'm trying to record like six episodes that I can get them all edited and then I can get them all released like on a proper schedule. So trying to be more organized. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah. Well, it's just been really nice to sit here and just wax lyrical about it. Really fantastic. Yeah.
It's good. And also we remained mainly on subject, which doesn't always happen because so easy to go off on tangents because as soon as you mentioned another show that someone's been on, like it could have been Neighbours, but if you'd have said, yes, Chrissy was in Howard's Way, we could have gone off on a Howard's Way tangent. And it's easily done. So, unfortunately, we didn't because she probably was never in it. So, I'm going to point that out to Dice next time.
I think your friend is wrong. I've got to say.
I'm more than happy for him to be wrong. so I can point out to him that he's wrong.
Yeah. You get some of those Aussie actors that, I could be really geeky here, Greg, and tell you, like, for example, Erica Davidson. I don't know if you remember when she. Do you remember the plot line with the women in the factory when they went to work and the shoe factory where Dora, you know, Kay White, and when Doreen got sexually, you know, kind of molested by that guy?
Yeah.
Well, the factory owner, Andrew Reynolds, the one that has the fling with Erica, he was an English actor. And I was watching because I know I am a big Doctor Who fan and they put up loads of old episodes on them. I was watching the first William Hartnell, The Daleks, and who should crop up in that but Andrew Reynolds as a Thal, you know, like on the planet Skaro, the same actor.
I wouldn't have recognised him from that, but I've definitely seen him in stuff because if he's just one of those like jobbing character English actors, he was probably in the Sweeney and everything.
Yeah.
And later on The Bill and stuff like that. He probably showed up in 10 things that I've seen.
Yeah.
And it's quite good. But I never find it less odd every time it happens. It's like that Neighbours thing they did for the Prisoner Anniversary where I had
Margot
and Judy and everything.
But they had different names, didn't they?
Yeah, it was so odd. It was such an odd thing to happen in a different show. And again, it was Daz, and I showed it to him, and he went, "This wasn't really on Neighbours, though, was it?" And I went, "Yeah, it was. It's actually a proper scene from Neighbours that just has all these people from Prisoner."
Tongue
in
cheek,
yeah. And there's loads of puns about Prisoner and stuff like that.
Roses. Yeah.
If you're unaware of Prisoner Cell Block H and watching Neighbours, that scene's completely baffling to you.
Yeah, a bit of an in joke, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an in-joke that the people who are fans of the series they're watching may not be party to. It seems a bit unfair. But there you go. Right, now, 10 to 8, I haven't had my tea yet, so.
No, nor me.
Thank you very much for
being really good to me.
But the roses here are prisoners. When morning comes around. He used to give me roses. I wish he could again. But that was on the outside. On things were different then.